Did everyone get a copy of this chart I have here? Oh, also, this is a list of supplies, cleaning supplies, and it will be hanging inside the door there, just in front of where Ron is. If when you're cleaning, you see something that needs is missing or getting low in supply, just mark it, and then Nancy or Cindy Smith will pick up the needed items there. So please keep track of that. All right, turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. The chart that I've given you is the way I believe the seals, trumpets, and vial judgments will unfold. And as you can see, my chronological order does not match the biblical order. But this is, as near as I can tell, this is how the things will fall during the seven-year tribulation period. We're in chapter 6. We've covered down through the first, started on the second seal, actually, I think. But the first seal was basically covering the first 3.5 year period as the Antichrist comes to power, riding on that white horse, conquering and to conquer without bloodshed. He has a bow, but no arrows in the thing. And that's how the Antichrist comes to power, preaching peace, obtaining the kingdom by flatteries. We're talking on the way home this morning, and Eileen mentioned that that's how our president came to power. Flattering is promising something or saying something you don't really believe. And that's, you know, he said he believed in traditional marriage. No, he didn't. That was flattery, and on and on and on. So, and I'm not saying Obama's the Antichrist. I don't think he is the Antichrist. He is a type of the Antichrist. But that's how the Antichrist will come to power. Then in this, the second seal, verses 3 and 4, we saw peace was taken from the earth. And I don't think we completely finished that. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5 and Revelation 11 and Revelation 13. This is when the gloves come off. The Antichrist is established in power, but at the midpoint, after 3.5 years, the gloves come off and his iron fist is revealed. And that's how he begins to rule and reign. Now he's got the domination, he's got the power, kind of like the Muslims. You know, their first step is accommodation, then was it abjugation, I think, something like that, and then subjection. And that's where the Antichrist is right here. Is he's got the power, he yields in that power, and peace is taken from the earth. I don't think I can stress that enough. And we saw some of the examples of that in those verses. But here's another thing that I want to look at. Go to Matthew. If you keep your finger in Revelation 6, go back to Matthew chapter 10. And it's something I had not really considered a whole lot before. But if peace is taken from the earth, how significant is that? Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Okay, well, you understand that's going to be a part of it. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, for my sake, for a testimony against them with the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought or how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, Matthew 10 is when Jesus Christ is first sending the disciples out. He has just called them. This is the beginning of his earthly ministry. This is the first time he has sent them out on their own. He has just called the 12 in this chapter, just selected them, and is now sending them out. And here's what he's saying as he's sending them out this very first time. But again, as he sent them out at this time, who are they to go to? Israel. Go not to the Gentiles, nor to the Samaritans, but to only to the house, lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as we looked at dispensations, the thing that we saw was that this period of time in which we live right now is an interruption in God's plan and purpose with Israel. And when Jesus Christ came to the earth the first time, His initial outreach was to Israel only because He was offering to them the kingdom. They had the chance to receive the kingdom of heaven at that time. And when they rejected it for the final time, that's when God opened the gospel up to the Gentiles, and this period of time in which we live began. This parenthesis, so to speak, in time. This pause between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel. So as He's sending them out here, this really matches up with what we're reading over in Revelation. Because this could have led right into that had Israel received Jesus Christ as their Messiah. You got that? That's why it doesn't seem to match our New Testament way of thinking. Because it's not. It's to Israel. So let's read on here. He says, "When you're verse 19, when they deliver you up, take no thought or how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." And remember, we're, you know, keep track of where we're at. Peace is taken from the earth. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the father, the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, we've seen some pretty horrible things take place in our lifetimes. The Menendez brothers who killed their parents. And different examples of that you can cite. But those are the exception right now. When peace is taken from the earth, this is the rule. 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's not New Testament salvation. That's tribulation salvation. Matthew 24. You see that? Because at this point in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, that's what he's preaching. Verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say to you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be his master and the servant of his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. And what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. What do you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Drop down to verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that hath taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Peace taken from the earth. What a horrible time the tribulation is going to be. As God lifts his restraining hand from the wickedness. Because the Holy Ghost is a restrainer. We are salt in the earth. That's preserving something. And we and the Holy Ghost are taken out of here at the rapture. And man, this whole thing starts to bust loose. Questions or comments? Dan.
Mm-hmm. And at the presentation Jesus is making is such that Israel is going to accept Christ, or that all of these things, what we're reading right now in Revelation, all these things are going to be advanced very quickly. Within a few months or years, this 7-year period is going to take place pretty rapidly. 7 years.
In the first century.
Christ is going to be crucified still.
Yep.
Cut off, according to Daniel.
Right.
The 7-year tribulation is going to happen right away. And these things that Jesus is telling his disciples about are going to happen in that 7-year period.
Yep.
And these things we're studying right now in Revelation would be the things that would have unfolded then, but were postponed because of this parenthetical church insert.
Yes. Any other questions or comments? Phil.
On the verse 21, where it says the brother's going to deliver his brother up to death and his father, child, etc. He's speaking to the Jews here, but they can't be getting killed for being Jewish, because if a father were to deliver up his son to death, the son's Jewish, therefore the father's Jewish, so the father would automatically be put to death for being Jewish too. So it must not be they're getting killed just for being Jews. It must be they're getting killed for
Jesus' sake.
Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're getting killed because some reject Christ and understand. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like maybe the father accepted and the son didn't, or vice versa, the son didn't.
Yeah, because, you know, keep it in context. He talked about verse 18, and you should be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And notice the Gentiles are separate and distinct from this at this point. Yeah. When they deliver you up, take no thought. You know, and then following that is when he says, a brother will deliver you up. What? Because of your testimony for Jesus Christ. Which is what's taking place. Well, we'll see that here shortly as we get to the fifth seal. But that's, yeah. Ron's got a question back there first.
When this takes place, if you think back to the state of Russia and the state of Germany, especially before World War II, they turned their people against each other by informing. Mm-hmm. If they didn't inform and found out that they should have informed, then they're treated the same as whoever they didn't inform.
Yep.
So there's going to be a persecution within everybody. If you see something wrong, you tell us. And if you don't, you're going to get the penalty of whoever did.
But again, that was localized.
Yeah,
this is worldwide. Yeah. Dan?
Verse 23. Is that giving the picture of how rapidly this is going to occur? I read that to mean that Jesus is saying they're not going to finish the task he gave them. They're not going to cover every city in Israel. They're not going to get this done before it's over. Is that because it says till the seventh month?
Probably, yeah.
You shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the seventh moon has become.
Okay.
Is that a reading?
I think so, yes. Any other questions or comments? All right. So that's that's the second seal, this red horse, verses 3 and 4, pieces taken, and many die during this period of time. I mean, obviously, when peace is taken, there's all kinds of stuff going on because peace has been taken from the earth. Verse 5 now of Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6 and verse 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." The third seal is this black horse carrying the balances, representing the economy. Economic turmoil is what unfolds with the revealing of this black horse, or the coming of this black horse. The staples of life are affected by this thing. How many of you ate breakfast this morning? How many of you ate lunch today? And how many of you have or will eat supper tonight? How many of you gave much thought about the fact that, I mean, you might have thought, what am I going to eat? But it was a given you were going to eat, right? In this scenario here, basically what you have is a day's wages to get something to eat. I don't think, I'm sure I don't fully understand that concept. That I've got to go out in the morning and I've got to find something to do, whether it's begging or stealing or working or whatever, to get enough money to, on my way home, be able to stop and to get something to take home so we can eat. And tomorrow morning I get up and the process begins all over again. Now, there's people that have experienced that, but I don't think any of us have ever experienced that. And I don't think we can imagine what that must be like. I mean, we got some ideas, but that's what's going on here. As they've had the peace removed from the earth, and now the economic toil comes to play, that an entire day's wages. In fact, what you have done that day will determine what or if you will eat that night, and maybe even have a little left over for the next morning before you go out and start again. The staples of life are affected, but the luxuries of the wealthy remain untouched. Hurt not the wine and the oil. The second and third seals could very possibly be simultaneous. I have no way to really discern on that, just the exact revelation of those things, other than that it's, in the Bible we see one after the other. But that's the second or the third seal, the economic turmoil that begins to prevail. Questions or comments? That's a good point, yeah. But, there's not a whole lot of time, I don't think, that's elapsing between these things because, for everything, the first seal covers 3.5 years. So for the remaining 6 seals and the 7 trumpets and the 7 vials, that all falls within the next 3.5 years. So there's not, if there's any lapse of time in between these things, there's not a great deal of time that elapses between them. But that is a good point, that famine and so forth does usually follow a war, because war has a tendency to break things. Any other questions or comments? Dan?
I'd like to back up just a little bit to the first seal is open and this Antichrist on the first on the white horse, he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That doesn't sound like peace, but I recognize what you're saying about it. There's no arrows, just has a bow.
Right.
So, what's your perspective? Do you think it's complete peace, or there's still these wars and rumors of wars going on, and he's kind of either pulling the strings or trying to squelch them?
The image I have is his coming in as the peacemaker. You know, he obtains the kingdom by flatteries. Go back to Daniel 9. Let me see if I think that's where that is. It's either Daniel 9 or Daniel 11, I think. Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean complete peace. Daniel 9.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's it, though. Well, yeah, verse 26. After 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. That's the crucifixion, but not for himself. The people, the princes, shall come to destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even into the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So there's a brief reference to it there. There's a covenant established, you know, peace treaty. But in the midst of the week, he breaks that thing. Okay? Yes. And let me quickly see if I can find this. Yeah, look at Daniel 11. You know, it's talking about leading up through all this. It's talking about conflict. Verse 24, he says, he shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time, and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south and a great army. Well, let's see. But it started out there entering peaceably. And yeah, I'm not. There's some. I think it's in Daniel. Maybe it's not. But someplace it says about him obtaining the kingdom by flatteries. And I'm not finding that right now. Maybe it's chapter 8. Yeah, I'm not seeing that. But that's... The Antichrist does come to power, and that peace is a part of that thing for the first 3.5 years.
Chapter 11.
Okay. Is that where it says obtaining the kingdom by flatteries? Okay. And some of them, and now when they shall fall, shall he be hoping with little help of many. Now, I'm sure there's a passage that says he actually says, he shall obtain the kingdom by flatteries. But anyway, that's, and we're kind of backtracking there a little bit too, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But any other questions? Dean?
Okay, so what I think Dan has to understand too is the rapture of the church. Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody's got to come onto the scene, and they've got to get this chaos taken care of. They've got to bring peace, which he does, and that's what I, you know, I think that's the whole aspect of this here.
Exactly.
He brings peace so that everything can calm down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's got the answers to the where all these people disappeared to, and bringing the, you know, resolving the Mideast conflict, and all this stuff. He's going to have the answers, obtaining the kingdom by flatteries. Yeah. Eileen?
Daniel 11:21.
Go ahead and read that, please.
And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery.
Calls him a raiser of taxes too, doesn't it? In that passage, or right around there. That's not important. But, okay, that's verse 25 of 11.
23.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Any other questions or comments? All right. So let's go to the fourth seal now, verse 7, Revelation 6, and verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. This is the first time a name, or a rider, in fact, is associated with the horse. And the rider is Death. And hell followed after him, and power was given unto him, unto them, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when better stop there, because that's going on too far. So, power over a fourth part of the earth. It appears to me that one fourth of the earth's population dies. Now, again, this could be cumulative, between what's taken place with the preceding seals. But think about that. There are about 7 billion people upon the face of the earth today. That's almost, it's like 1.7 billion people dying. 1.7 billion. The population of the U.S. is about 300 million. It's not even close to just our entire population in this country. Far more than that across the whole world. Gone. As this horse, whose name is Death, whose rider's name is Death, comes forth. And this devastation then that begins to unfold, I see this as being parallel to what's revealed in the first three trumpet judgments. So I'm going to jump over to chapter 8 now and start looking at what's described in these trumpet judgments that begin to unfold. And this is, you know, I'm jumping around in the Bible, but chronologically, this is the way that it appears to me that this whole thing fits together. And I hope you can see that clearly on your diagram there. So we come to chapter 8 and verse 7 for the first trumpet. And it says this: the first angel sounded. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed, and the third angel sounded. And do I go in too far? Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. Should have stopped at verse 7. So the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all grass was burnt up. So again, we're touching the sustenance of life here. All the grass is burnt up. And a third part of the trees are lost. All these things are destroyed. So you've affected not only the vegetation, but the things that survive on the vegetation, your livestock. Without grass, cows aren't going to survive. Pigs and the rest of the creatures aren't going to survive. Deer and antelope and everything else. There's a devastation that is just beyond our imagination that's taking place with this. And this is just the first trumpet, with six more to follow. Then, verse 8, and the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. See, so with those ships, you've got more human life being lost, along with one third of all the sea creatures that to this point had survived, and then the waters are become, one third of the waters are becoming blood at this time as well, as this great mountain, burning mountain, is cast into the sea. The death and destruction is mounting through all these things. Then verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. More death, more destruction following in this thing as this wormwood falls upon this thing, and one third of the mountains and rivers are affected. Hold your finger here and go to Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast, and I will consume the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Now, back in Matthew chapter 10, if you remember when we read earlier, Jesus said, except those days should be shortened. Even the very elect would not survive or something to that effect. This is beyond imagination what's taking place here. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth. Boy, isn't that true? Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. I think you could safely say that what we've read about taking place with these seals and trumpet judgments, the land's mourning. With all this devastation that's falling, the land will mourn, and everyone that dwelleth thereon shall languish with the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. So this vast devastation, which to me could be part of the sixth, fourth seal there, is taking place with these trumpet judgments. Questions or comments on any of that so far? Pam.
Can I ask how you're getting that?
Getting what? Because of the effects, mostly.
Okay, it's confusing me that the beginning of chapter 8 is saying about when we open the seventh seal, then all the, the trumpets are sounding.
But when you see all the the pale horse is the fourth seal, whose rider is death, and hell followed after. And then you read about all these things in these first three trumpets, and that's a lot of death that's encompassed in those three trumpets. And that's why I'm putting those at this point in time. You're free to disagree with me on that if you choose. I know you're a genius, so. Ron? No. No. It's probably better to just let that go, because I really don't know. Anyone else? Go ahead, Van.
Well, so the goats, hell does follow their death.
Yeah. That, I guess that could be one explanation, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's long after all this is. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Now, there's going to be a break here as we come to the next. We're going to go back to chapter 6 now. And verse 9, we come to the fifth seal in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. He said, yes. It could, yeah.
But I'm thinking that ties into this economic downfall, too, that brings that turmoil and stuff on.
Yeah.
I don't know, but, you know, there was something, I can't think of what it was when I did study that myself, with that economic turmoil. I knew there was something else along with that, but I'm thinking maybe this is some of it. But
could be, yeah. Anyone else? Verse 9 of chapter 6, the fifth seal. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a while, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So there's a pause as under the altar. Now, there's some, I guess, question about where this altar is. The temple has been restored at this time. Temple worship had been restored. The Jews had their temple for that first 3.5 years. That was part of that peace, that covenant that the Antichrist had made with Israel. But then in the midst of that, he appears in the temple and demands that he now be worshipped as God. This, I'm just throwing this out there, but it could be that these souls are under that altar in that temple. And they're crying out for vengeance upon their blood. Note what it says they are. They're souls. It's separated from the body. They're dead, so the body is not there with them at this point. They have are waiting being joined together, and that joining together to the body with the body doesn't come until their brethren, which should be fulfilled, join with them. There's maybe even some suggestion of unrest at this point. Because he does tell them, where was that? Thought he said rest somewhere in there. Maybe a verse 11? Yes, they should rest yet for a little season. You know, just, you know, calm down, guys. Take it easy. It's coming. And again, there's some things I'm just speculating here, just throwing this out. So, you know, if you choose to reject it, that's fine. I'm not going to be mad at you. I just won't talk to you for a couple of days is all. But there seems to be some unrest suggested in all this thing. But there's no body here. And these are believers that have been slain, it says, for the word of God and for the testimony which they held in verse 9. Part of that peace being taken from the earth. Part of those who suffered as the peace was taken from the earth. And they were brought before councils and so forth, betrayed possibly by brother or father or whatever the case may be, and their lives have been lost because of that. And then they're crying out now for vengeance because of their testimony and the word of God. And the white robes are given to them, kind of an appeasement, and rest till the other martyrs arrive. But somewhere I had the idea that they were beheaded, and I'm not sure where I got that from, because there's nothing in there that suggests that. But it seems like there's something in that does suggest a beheading is part of the form of execution that comes into play at this time during tribulation. And think about that. If that's true, and I don't have the passage in front of me now to back that up, but if that's true, how do we execute people in the 21st century? Humane forms of execution, right? Gas chamber, electric chair, lethal injection. But this is sometime in the 21st century, and we're going back to one of the most primitive forms of execution. Let's see.
And what's taking place right now that you're seeing on TV?
Yeah. It's because of that some people speculate the Antichrist will be a Muslim. I'm not sure I accept that. I still tie Catholicism to it more than Islam. But then again, you know, Catholicism and Islam can go just like that very quickly. So, but nevertheless, that's for later on. But this is what's taking place here. As for some reason, you know, these first four seals have been describing some things that are taking place. First one not so bad, but the other three following that are pretty rough. And then he stops, and we see these souls that are assembled here under the altar and crying out, how long? When will we at last be avenged for our deaths, for what we have suffered? He says, it's coming. But unfortunately, so are some more martyrs first. Because also, and their brethren that should be killed, as they were, should be fulfilled. Any questions or comments? Dean. Predominantly, yes. And you know, as you're looking at the tribulation period, the church is gone. This is the Gentile bride being called out for Jesus Christ. And once the church is taken out, then God's focus goes back to Israel. As we'll see in the next chapter, the 144,000 witnesses are 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. The two witnesses, which I believe are Moses and Elijah, are Jews. So all of God's focus and everything we're told about is focused around Jerusalem. So Israel is the focus of God's attention. Now that's not to mean that there aren't some Gentiles that can also be converted. But the vast majority are going to be Jews, Israelites, who are coming now, finally, to their Messiah. What their fathers rejected back in Matthew and so forth, they are finally accepting at long last. Any other questions or comments? Danny. Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Both of them, after death, in their souls, had a consciousness of what was going on. And the rich man said, send Lazarus. So he was not only aware of his state and location, but he was aware of where Lazarus was. He says, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue to ease my torment. So I don't limit it just to saved people having a consciousness in after they're separated from the body, and that soul is there. That's I believe the soul is basically the shape of our bodies. You know, it's kind of like the inner tube inside the tire. That's what our soul is. You know, this is the tire. It might be a retread, but it's the tire. Then there's inside the inner tube. And inside the inner tube is what? Air. The Holy Ghost. But that soul, I believe, is the exact form of our bodies. And we can get into some more stuff, interesting stuff there, but we'll leave that for another time. But these souls have a consciousness. They can feel pain. They have an awareness of things beyond where they are at. You know, as indicated by these guys crying out and back over in Luke 16 with the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes in torments and cried out and said, send Lazarus, that he might dip his finger in the water and touch my tongue. Any other questions or comments? Let's pray.